flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Okay, here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on the Score.
Former Bears safety Mike Brown.
That 2001 season, that improbable season.
We had old and young, and it mixed well. Like it was like a pudding. You got the young dudes that coming in, and the old dudes came in, and we mixed it up in the pudding, and it became the 2001 season.
Delicious.
Gonna need some pudding here. Pudding.
All right, what's your favorite pudding? What's number one on the pudding choices from Mike Brown?
Tapioca.
Wow, did not expect that.
Yeah, you didn't expect that. I know. I that's weird. Like I when I say that, I didn't even want to say that.
No, you should say it. Be who you are, Mike Brown.
Oh, I hate the smell of tapioca.
All right, where are you on rice pudding?
That's a tough question to answer.
I've never had rice pudding, to be honest with you.
I don't need rice in my pudding, Mike Brown. I'm going to tell you that right now.
Look, we'll deal with this later. We'll deal with this later. Yeah. Maybe off the end.
Oh, this is like something y'all got going on.
You took us there, okay, man. You took us to pudding.
Now is the time to stop putting Dwight's personal effects into Jell-O.
Dwight, I'm sorry, because I've always been your biggest fan.
Oh, nice. That's the way it is around here. It just kind of goes around and around.
What kind of pudding did Roosevelt, Colvin, and Warwick Holman like the best?
Oh, I think they would like the chocolate and the vanilla mix.
Yeah. Would Olin even eat pudding?
Olin Krutz would get a spoonful of pudding and throw it at somebody. For real.
Yeah, man. That's no
I don't partake in the pumpkin patch.
You know what we're going to send you, right? You know what we're going to send you, don't you?
What? What are you going to send me?
Rice pudding. We're going to send you some.
Right. Send it to me.
All right. On
hey,
its
guys.
On
thanks
its way.
For having me.
See you, Mike.
Mike, thank you so
I love
much.
You guys. Hey, yeah, man. Thank you. I love you, too.
Tell Bill I said have a Coke and a smile and shut the up. The Jell-O pudding eating my
The official adventures of Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score.
Mike Brown, the former Bears safety, was an absolute delight yesterday on the show. Spiegs and Grody yesterday and tomorrow. Spiegs and Anthony Herron right now on the Spiegel and Holmes show on 670 The Score. Hey, now, Anthony and I have had a good time today. We led the show talking about Alex Bregman going with the Boston Red Sox. 3 years, $120 million. At $40 million a year in terms of average annual value, I believe he is third right now in MLB at average annual value. He is not a player remotely worth being third.
He's not the third best player in baseball?
He is not. But Anthony, for years and years, we've heard about if there were perceived Cubs limitations or there was a budget issue and they weren't going to traffic in the heavy, heavy hitters like Bryce Harper, Juan Soto, or others, the idea was, well, what if they did a short deal with a really high average annual value? Mm-hmm. And we know that they could handle that for a couple of years and then it'd be off the books. And it was this type of year, this idea, this template. But so they didn't do that. And I found myself thinking, man, this is kind of, this is what I thought that they were going to do. But then it turns out Jed Hoyer spoke about it, was very interesting, very kind of transparent about what they could and could not do. And I'm not super angry. Like, I'm okay. Bothered, but I'm not super angry. And I realize it's kind of an in-between sort of place. So I'm looking around to see who's angry. Chris Tannehill's angry. Chris Tannehill's angry about it. He thinks that the... you know, the Cubs should be spending bigger on stuff like this.
I think they should, you know. Like, my experience is colored from being a White Sox fan during the Manny Machado, Bryce Harper sweepstakes era. When you have a team that's right there, and we could argue all day whether or not Alex Bregman is worth this money. He's probably not going to be. But my point is, they're right there. Right now, you know, it's your favorite song you're always saying.
Yeah.
You know? So, like, when you're a team that has resources and prospects are always suspect, in my opinion, you know, so when you have that opportunity right there, be aggressive.
Yeah, you're right about Harper and Machado. The White Sox drew a line in the sand at 250 when Machado was saying, I want 300, and he got exactly that. He got the 300.
Granted, you know, Alex Bregman's not 25 like these guys were at that time. Because, you know, Bryce Harper is still killing it, so is Manny, you know.
Right. But and the White Sox weren't approaching did it even exist at the time? The competitive balance tax and how it affects things. And I mean, you know, there's all of that mixed in there. Shane, do you have anger for the Cubs and their perceived cheapness in this moment?
Yeah, I have anger for the Cubs fans and the perceived cheapness, but I don't have anger that it wasn't Alex Bregman. I just don't think that they've done enough to bring stars in since the 2016 core.
Well, that
they
is
just haven't.
That is like, for sure.
The Bellinger stuff, and Jed talked about it when we listened to it, thanking the family for letting them go above and beyond on the budget and sign Bellinger, but what did it get you?
And
like, you went above and beyond for what?
He thanked them today for allowing him to even make the offer to go that high. He was respectful and commented on that several times. Lots of emails, lots of conversations. Thank Tom and Laura and Todd for the ability to go where he went. But they didn't go all the way to get the deal done. They could not match what the Red Sox offered. 312-644-6767. Are you angry, Cub fans? I'm curious. Ant, where are you on this today?
I think it makes sense. You know, I try not to... Because by comparison to last year, where I fully was entrenched in just complete logic as it related to how the Cubs were handling things, I said, this division is not going to get away from the Cubs. Mm-hmm. We don't need to be too concerned about them adding extra power arms to the starting staff or additional depth on the infield. Because you know what? It's going to have catcher is going to be just fine. Don't get yourself all worked up. They will make a move before the trade deadline because they're going to be right there in the thick of everything. And then very early in the season, the division ran away from them last year. And virtually everyone else in the division, not named the Chicago Cubs, was much better than they were anticipated to be going into the season. So I am going to allow everyone else's anger, if it does exist in this case. I did everything I could last season to sort of calm everyone down, talk them off the ledge, say, don't worry, they're going to spend because they're going to be in this thing. Mm-hmm. There's no reason to be too aggressive, spend bad money, and then you don't know where you'll be once the trade deadline is approaching. I don't have that same confidence this year.
So lots and lots of texts coming in on the subjects and some of your phone calls as well. 312-644-6767. George is in the Northwest Burbs. George is on Spiegel and Holmes here on the Score. George, you angry about them not getting Bregman?
Hey, yeah, thanks for having me on. No, I think Bregman would have been a big mistake, and even if it was like $30 million. So the way I'm seeing what they're setting up is you got to find which of your young studs are going to be great that you can build around, and then you spend and fill those holes. Matt Shaw could be great, and you know Bregman is going to maybe help you more this year than Shaw would. But 2 years, 3 years, 5 years in the future, Shaw's going to be the guy that you want to have over Bregman or whatever young star you want to be. So I just think Bregman would be putting you in a box, and they're not in a position to do that right now.
So put George on the list as blocks the potential development of Matt Shaw. I really like Matt Shaw. I hope he does bloom into the big leaguer that he could possibly be. There's just no way to know that now in a win-now season.
It is a win-now season, Speaks, and I feel like you're in the Kyle Tucker window is what you're in. And I'd feel a lot, you know, better about saying goodbye to Bregman if you had extended Tucker beyond this season.
You can't be done right here, right now on Feb 13 with this team. This is not a 90-win team that Craig Council told you you needed to build and that everyone agrees they need to build. And they knew it. That's why they were getting Bregman. With Bregman, they probably are projected as a 90-win team. You have 1 year of Kyle Tucker. So in this 1 year of Kyle Tucker, that's all that's guaranteed, by the way. Will you be good enough? They need to do more. And I think they will do more. I think it'll probably be Justin Turner at a low one-year deal to be an extra body, maybe to play a little bit of third, but certainly to DH, play a little bit of first at that. And hopefully they can make a deal with San Diego for Dylan Cease or Michael King. If those guys are indeed available, I want those conversations to take place. They need to do more.
Now, how does missing on Bregman color your feelings about the Cubs starting staff? Because it feels like they've got a lot of good arms, talented arms. You know, Showtime is as fun as any pitcher in the majors going back to last season. But do they have that true, and I feel like I've heard you talking about it here lately, whether or not they have that true ace, that true top of the rotation guy?
I really like Justin Steele. I think Justin Steele is an ace caliber dude, but
then what's the hesitation in your voice?
Because you need multiple.
Oh, okay. All right.
You need multiple.
So it's not necessarily being confident in Steele. You just want multiple Steele level players.
And they don't have the prototypical power righty with shutdown strikeout stuff who can dominate the way that you'll need to in a pennant race and in the postseason. Michael King was brilliant in the playoffs last year for the Padres. Dylan Cease has thrown a no-hitter, can be as dominant as just about anybody in baseball. Either one of those guys would be somebody you'd be like, that's my game one dude, or my game two dude, or whatever. Yeah. Like him and Steele, then you're like, all right, here we go. This is big time. Right now, Steele and then Shota and then Tyone and Matthew Boyd is really nice 2 through 5, in my opinion, or 1, 3, 4, 5, or 1.5, 2.5, 4, and 5.
Especially if the defense performs as it should, which a lot last season it didn't, but that helps.
A strikeout righty. I really wanted them to add a strikeout righty. That's why I was open to the idea of Max Scherzer, I was open to the idea of Jack Flaherty, you know, and so trading for one that you can put towards the top of that division would be a big, big deal for me. This is John and Logan Square on The Score. What's up, John? Good afternoon.
Hey, guys. I'm disappointed, of course, but I'm not upset because that 40 mil would have completely handcuffed the team at the deadline or for the opportunity to add starting pitching, which may be more important as the season goes along. I also don't agree with Tannehill because what they're not stopping right now just because they didn't get Bregman. They're still going to add more players. They're going to seek trade opportunities. They're going to seek other signings. Justin Turner, I hope not. He's terrible. But, you know, we'll see. And then the last thing I was going to say is I don't think that this is truly just about the CBT and the luxury tax and spending more. I think a lot of it has to do with the revenue sharing that Ricketts has always hated. He doesn't like paying the Cardinals. He doesn't like paying Milwaukee to compete against them. And I think there's something to that. I mean, he could just be cheap. I definitely don't want to hear Jeff thanking him. I think that's ridiculous. I mean, that's the dumbest thing I ever heard. Why is he thanking Ricketts for giving him money for his baseball team?
I thought the vibe of everything Jed said was really interesting today. I thought he was clear about his job and transparent about where they are in a way that I think is fine. I wonder if ownership thinks it's fine, but I thought it was really interesting. He was clearly saying, well, I had to go ask for it and I got it, but we weren't able to get it done. But he was trying to be conciliatory, but he made it clear. See, these are not all my choices here, people. These are not all my choices. I'm just out there doing my job.
That was a really good phone call, except for the one point the guy made. Other than that, it's a really good phone call. It made a lot of sense to me. I don't know. Yeah, I didn't even hear that part. Tannehill. I dumped out of it. But like, that's the thing about all these games matter the same. Games in March now in Japan, they matter just the same as those games after the deadline in July.
Yeah.
And like, you know, yes, they're clearly the best team in the division, in my opinion, but it would be nice to have those reinforcements from day one.
Look, Alex Bregman is in decline based on certain numbers as you look at his his last few seasons. And this particular year that he just came off, this contract year, was not great. He had a really terrible start. And then he had a really good kind of middle of the summer and finished strong. But his walk rate went way down. He got much, much more aggressive and was swinging for the fences in a contract year. Was he up in his head? It's possible. But it's like, you know, there's decline in the walk rate. There's some decline in some of the other peripherals. And, you know, it's just he's 31 years old. He's 31 years old. So there are a lot of questions about him as a player that concern me. A lot of textures agreeing with that. Not angry. Bregman sucks. Good luck, Boston.
I don't think he sucks. He's just not worth $40 million a year. Uh-huh. It's two different things.
I don't think he was worth what the Cubs offered. They didn't miss. I'm not pissed. I'm just not surprised. Not angry. His numbers wouldn't have translated to Wrigley. Hit a bunch of homers, but was selling out for power. And then here's one that I think is right. I'm not angry as long as they take that savings and sign Michael Tucker. They need to do that ASAP. So look, that would change things quite a bit in your perception.
Can I suggest a different player for you?
Sure.
What if I told you that you could get a one war player, middle infielder, that can play the... just hear me out.
Okay.
Already not taking me seriously, Kenny. A one war player that can play every position in the infield, that played in 140 games last year and hit 24 home runs.
One
for about 10, 11, 12 million over the course of a couple of years.
A one war player.
Yes.
Lawrence Holmes?
No.
140, and he's still available?
Still available.
One war is not a lot for somebody with 24 home runs.
I know.
He must be horrendous at defense.
Paul DeJong.
Paul DeJong's still out there.
Who worked with the White Sox before they traded him to KC.
Yeah, and he actually had a nice run with KC.
He did.
In helping them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good fallback.
Yeah. It's not a bad name, actually. But they've got some...
Sounds so surprised.
They've got John Birdie. Yeah, I wasn't sure where he was going. I was like, wait a minute, Moncada signed already. Where's Shane going on this one? Yeah, you know, they've got John Birdie and Nicky. What about your guy, Nicky Lopez, your dear friend?
I mean, I love Nicky, but Nicky's not an everyday player.
No, he's not an everyday player.
I think he knows that, too.
Yeah. They need Matt Shaw to truly be great.
So the urgency for where the division sits right now, like I was telling you about how I felt last year around this same time.
Yes, sir.
And I don't know. This year, I feel like the discussion about the Cubs in this division is very similar right now to what it was last year, with everyone assuming the division is going to be terrible.
And and assuming that the manager is supposed to give you a little bump here as well.
Which he didn't. I mean, you know, a little bump, I suppose, last year. But I don't know that what we saw last season in actual production from the staff, from the lineup, was well beyond what was, you know, going to be expected. Regardless of who's managing the Cubs. So where the division sits at this point this year, is the division itself worse, or do we really think this Cubs roster is that much better?
Yeah, no, I think the division definitely got worse. I think Milwaukee got worse, but they're Milwaukee. They always seem to find a way.
Yes.
There's always seem to be extra kids.
They were supposed to be bad last year, and they weren't.
I know. And then Jackson Churio could, you know, fully bloom into the superstar he's thoroughly capable of being this coming year. So it's hard to fully trust that. But I do think the Cubs are the favorite to win the division and should win the division. This is Monty on the score. Monty, you're on Spiegel and Holmes with Spiegs and Ann Heron. What do you say?
Hey, I was just going to say that the Ricketts seem to be cheap to me. I mean, ever since they won the World Series, they don't want to spend any money. I mean, it was great. They brought a World Series to the Cubs, but, you know, they got $26 billion to work with, but they just don't want to, like, actually open the purse string.
See, and that's, you know, I did a whole segment on this yesterday. And I find myself curious about the overall plan in terms of team building. And we're kind of out of time to do it. Maybe I'll do it, if not tomorrow, next weekend. But it's like they're just below the luxury tax area, but they're not kind of doing what teams below the tax have to do, which is have the dominant system and just keep churning out kids and staying cheap and developing. There actually are spending on some things. Like, the team building philosophy is sort of in a tweener. You know what I mean? Like, it's not up towards the tippity top, going aggressive and going for it, but it's like hanging around. It's spending this more than you need to. I mean, if this is depending on what your goals are,
right?
You know, it's like, are you trying to build Cleveland? Are you trying to build Milwaukee? Or are you trying to build something at the tippity top? It's a little confusing. It's a little in between.
Well, I think they're definitely hoping for that development. They're hoping that they're going to get at least a few guys, the PCAs of the world, that will get, you know, towards what his immense peak seems to be. And if you get that guy who can turn into some kind of a young star, then that'll certainly enhance what they can be as a roster as a whole.
He is Anthony Herron. I'm Matt Spiegel. Dave Wannstedt is next. We get our afternoon Wani on the Score.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3, plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, football,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.